Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 485. 485. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 51. Number 51.
Praise the Savior, ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him. Gladly let us render to Him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in Him. Trust in Him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those He loves from Him. Keep us, Lord, O keep us cleaving to Thyself and still believing, till the hour of our receiving promised joys with Thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own.
Acts chapter 6. Read the first 8 verses, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude to the disciples and said unto them, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Our blessed Father, gracious, gracious God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. You're righteous, Father. Blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior. And Lord, we thank you for the love wherewith you loved us to send your Son, loved us enough to send your own Son to take our place, to stand in our room, stand in our stead, bear your judgment, bear your wrath, and bear our sins away where they'd never be remembered against us again. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this wonderful privilege. Oh, what a privilege, what a blessing to be able to gather with the saints of God. I know always thankful for that. Thankful for those who come out. Thankful for those who believe and who trust and who are faithful. So God, meet with us tonight. I ask you to please come among us. Enable me to speak. And Lord, enable the saints to hear. Save your people in this place. Have mercy, mercy, mercy upon our family, upon our friends, on those that we love. For Lord, if you don't have mercy on them, and you don't deal with them, Lord, they'll perish. Perish absolutely with not thoughts of God in their mind. So meet with us. Bring glory to yourself. We ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
On page 32 in our course books, we'll sing All I Need. 32 in our course books.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea, He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, He is all I need. Jesus is my all in all I need, all I need. While He keeps, I cannot fall. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, He is all I need. He redeemed me when He died, all I need, all I with him was crucified. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, he is all I need. Glory, glory to the Lamb, all I need, all I need. By his Spirit sealed I am, he is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, he is all I need.
Yeah, he's all we need to face God with, nothing else but him. Back here in Acts chapter 6, I've named my subject this evening, A Problem is Solved. You remember when Ananias and Sapphira, act like they was giving their all to the church, and they kept back part of the money, but they pretended that they gave everything. And that's the way it is in religion. That's the way it is in, if anybody keeps back anything from Christ, anything. If there's a, David said, keep me from secret sins. Keep me from presumptuous sins. Save me from my secret faults. But to hold back anything from the Lord Jesus Christ, it's awful what it'll do to a person. We can't imagine. I mean, Christ died for our whole being. When Christ died, he died for our souls. He died for our bodies. He died for our minds. He died for understandings. He died for our will. He died for our love. He died for everything about us. So why would we hold anything back from him? One of the greatest griefs, I think, as believers, we feel like we have not committed ourselves the way we really, really want to. The way we desire to. And then another thing, the apostles suffered greatly for their gospel that they preached. They were beaten, slandered, put in jail, and God brought them out of jail, and they was warned not even to mention the name of Christ again. But here we are. We're in this situation. Here's the problem that they were dealing with at this particular time. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. Now, you know, you remember in Acts when there's day of Pentecost, everybody in Jerusalem down there, they all heard these men preaching and teaching in their own languages. So there was people in Jerusalem had a lot of different languages. And the two main languages that they was doing in the days of Christ, our Lord, was, of course, Greek. Greek was the number one language in the world at that time. And the Jews, they used what they call the Aramaic. So they have a problem over language here. The Greeks and the Jews preached one language, and the Greeks spoke another language. And so they had a communication problem. And here's the thing about it. that there rose up when the disciples, this is when the trouble started. In those days when the disciples were multiplied. Now you know what it means to be multiplied? Not doubled, tripled, quadrupled, but they were multiplied. Every day they multiplied. If they start off with 100, they end up with 300. Start up with 300, end up with 900. Start out with 1,000, end up with 3,000. So it just kept multiplying and multiplying. And so it got so big, the congregation got so big, and the problem was caused by growth, by the church growth. And then there, these Jews, these Grecians, they began to murmur. And look who they murmured against, the Hebrews. They murmured against the Jews, murmured against the Hebrews. And why they were murmuring, because that every day, and this is what God taught them. God taught the Jews this, and He rebuked them for this time and time again. And you'll remember in Job said He took care of the fatherless and the widows. And God told people, said, "When listen, if you got a widow, and she's a widow indeed, like Paul said, she's a widow indeed. If she don't have a family, if she don't have no nephews, no sons, no daughters, nobody that would take care of her," said it's the church's responsibility to take care of them. See they got a home to eat. See that they got money to take care of them. See that they got food to eat. That's why it's called serving tables. So these, now I'll tell you something about the Hebrews now. They took care of their widows, but they act like the Grecians, it didn't make no difference to them. They just ignored them for some reason, and so these Greeks, they began to murmur. Began to murmur. They began to have a problem over this. And oh my. And so they was having a problem. Now what do you do with somebody's murmuring and complaining? You know what most churches would do? They'd have a business meeting and say, "Now listen, these folks have got a complaint and they're murmuring, and I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to have a vote. And 51% carries that they quit complaining, and if we don't, we'll ignore them." But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. And they murmured, they complained. And then it seems like they had a just cause for complaining. It says there in the daily ministry, they took money out of the treasury. They bought food, they went to the people's houses, and they seen that they were taken care of. But the Greeks weren't. And they murmured. Well, how in the world are the apostles going to deal with this? The problem rose because they grew so much. Then the 12, these 12 apostles called the multitude, the disciples, unto them. I don't know how many it was, but it was a great crowd, and they called them all around them. And this is what they told them. "It's not reasonable for us. It's not right for us. It's not needful for us that we should leave the Word of God and have to go out here and start taking care of widows and orphans and people that's in need. It's not reasonable that we should do that." Huh? And I tell you what, and they went on to say this, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, of whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." Now let me tell you what didn't happen here. God didn't give these men any revelation. They didn't have any revelation. They didn't say, "Well, God showed us to do it this way. God showed us to do it that way." There was no revelation given them how to deal with this. But this is what they did. And I'll tell you what, they got the congregation together, the multitude, and they left it up to them. They said, "It's not right for us to leave the preaching of the Word of God and have to go into these homes and start waiting on people." So he said, "Look ye out among yourselves. You look among yourselves. You yourselves. You pick. You choose." And he said, "Listen, then get you 7 men. 7. Always 7 means perfection, completeness. And he chose you seven men. And I tell you what, let me tell you what they didn't do. They didn't have a business meeting. They didn't ignore these Jews or these Greeks. And they didn't form a committee and try to say, what in the world are we going to do about this? Apostles didn't do this. And they didn't say, well, let's get the deacons together and take care of this. And that's what they say. This is the first calling of deacons. But you don't find the word deacon given here. And the word deacon in and of itself means a servant. That's what it means, a servant. Nowadays, deacon means somebody that runs the church. Somebody that makes care of everything that you know. And they, if the preacher don't want to fool with it, send the deacons. They'll deal with it. And you know, I've been here 44 years last March. And we've never had a deacon. And if we ever had a problem, God always took care of it. And we've helped a lot of people over the years. Not with just a couple $100, but with several thousand at a time. And we never had to fuss and fight about it. And that's the way these fellows were. These men trusted these apostles. And these apostles trusted these people. They knew that they were converted, knew where they were regenerated, knew that they had the new birth, knew that they had the Spirit of God in them. They wouldn't have been in the church had they not been. And he said, wherefore, brethren, that's the first thing he called them, brethren. You're my brethren. We're one. And look what he says. Look you out among you, seven men. Get you seven. There needs to be seven of them. Oh, the apostles didn't decide to do this on their own. They said, and I want you, and here's the qualifications that these men's got to have. Look what it says, the qualification. First of all, they have to have an honest report. That people's got to say, these are wonderful men, fine men, God-fearing men, honest men, faithful men, converted men. God that loves Christ, people that know Christ. And that's the first thing, honest report. And that's what Paul said about a bishop. He said he has to have an honest report of them that were without. And the reason that is because of an office. It's the office. It's the office. And here he says, look, so the first thing they have to do is they have to be of an honest report. When somebody asks something about you, you reckon they'd give an honest report of me or an honest report of you? I said something the other, you know, I say things about myself sometimes, and I said something the other day, and dear Shirley, bless her heart, she told me, she said, you're not like that at all. I said, you're not like that at all. I said, you know, I was talking about quick temper. She said, you're not quick tempered at all. That's a good report. That's what we're talking about, a good report. I give a report of myself in some way, somebody else gives a different. And that's what we're talking about, a good report. A good report. Then look what else he says. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Now when he says they're full of the Holy Ghost, that don't mean that they speak in tongues. That don't mean that they have visions. It just means that they have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, baptized by the Spirit of God. The Christ in them, the Holy Ghost of God, the Word of God, the power. He told his disciples when he said, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so these men were endued. They were full. He said, make sure these men are full of the Holy Ghost. They got some power. They got some sense. And then look what else it says. And wisdom. 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 What in the world is wisdom? Well, I think the Scriptures teaches us that wisdom, of course, we have to get it from Christ. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. But wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It's the right use of knowledge in a given situation. And then let me tell you something that what everybody ought to do. Look with me over in Romans when we're talking about honest report and being full of the Holy Ghost and doing things for people. Look in Romans chapter 12 with me. This is some of the things that all of us ought to do. We ought to pay attention to it to ourselves. And that's what they're talking about here. These are the kind of men they were talking about. But look what he said here in Romans 10. Look in verse 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Oh my. With brotherly love and honor preferring another. And that's what these apostles did. So, you know, and these other folks said, we prefer them in honor among ourselves. Not one of these men stood up and said, I'd make a good servant. Not one of them said, I'll be willing to do that. No, no. They had to be chosen. And then not slothful in business. That's what the Hebrews were Greeks were accusing the Hebrews of being. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Continuing in prayer. Listen to this. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given the hospitality, love company. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Not mind not high things, but condescend, come down, and whatever you do, don't be wise in your own conceits. So these men were looking for wisdom. These men, they didn't volunteer. They didn't volunteer. And then look what it says there in the last part of verse 3. Whom we may appoint over this business. What business? In the daily ministry of taking care of the widows. The widows. The widows. They didn't have anybody else take care of them, so the church took the obligation of it. And then look what else they said here now in verse 4. You pick out these men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and we'll appoint them to take this business on. But this is what we're going to do. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Is there any two more important things for a preacher than that? Is there anything more important, more necessary, more needful for a preacher, for an apostle, or anybody? Prayer. Prayer. Bruce Crabtree, he preached on Sunday morning in our conference. He preached on 5 encouragements to prayer. And then when he was here that week ago Sunday night, you know what he preached on? He preached on prayer. Preached on prayer. And that's what these fellows says. We're going to give ourselves continually to prayer. We got to pray over the Word. We can't preach without praying. We can't preach. We can't worship God without prayer. And if we don't pray for ourselves, pray for somebody else. And everybody in this building tonight needs prayer. And every one of us in this building tonight want us to pray for one another. Don't we? You asked me to pray the other night for a particular person. And we ask people to pray. And that's what they said. And that's what a preacher... Listen, it would be useless for me to get up here and try to preach without praying over what I want to preach. Lord, what would you have me to preach? Where would you have me to go? What am I going to deal with? And I certainly don't have the sense or the wisdom to do it. And so prayer. And then preaching the Word, ministering the Word. There's nothing more important than the preaching of the Word. I remember years and years and years and years ago, Eleanor was still working. And And some young woman asked her, said, we was going to have a meeting. She said, how do y'all conduct your services up there? I said, well, we sang a couple of songs, but the main emphasis in our services is the Word of God. And that is the main emphasis. I've been listening to a young preacher from out in Missouri, and you're talking about a fella that's in the Word and deals with the Word and deals with it word for word for word. I mean, he is deals with the Scriptures honestly. And I tell you, here's another thing. If a fella can preach without the Holy Spirit, and that's what most folks are doing now, and that's why without the Spirit of God, without prayer, the Scriptures is a dead letter. But with prayer and the Word of God, ministering the Word, it's a living thing for us. It's a living Word. And that's why we give ourselves to that. And look what happens now in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. They said, that's wonderful. Oh, I'm glad you all thought of that. Oh, them folks were just pleased. They said, now we'll know how to deal with this. They were so happy. They were so well pleased with the decision. They're so well pleased with it. They was happy. They said they was pleased by it. And the whole multitude was. Now I have no idea what a multitude it was. Spurgeon preached anywhere to 5,000 to 7,000 people at a time at a service. And there's people today that's preaching to several thousand people at a time now. But I tell you what, there's a multitude here. And they don't tell us, because God says it don't make no difference. They're my people. They're my elect. And they're my people. And it pleased them. You apostles gave us something to go by, something to do. And look what it says. So they started choosing. They looked among themselves and they said, this is the first one. This is the first one that we come to. And they chose Stephen. And we know about Stephen. We know what happened to Stephen. I'll deal with that next week. We know what happened to him. But look what it says about him. A man full of faith. I mean, he believed. He's full of faith in Christ. Full of faith in God's Word, full of faith in the promises of God, full of faith in what Christ accomplished, full of faith in a salvation that's full and free, full of faith. And listen, not only that, but he's full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, look what it says about him down in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, that's the Holy Spirit in him, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Oh, God started using him immediately. They chose Stephen, then look what it says. And then they chose Philip. You know who Philip was. He was an evangelist. He is the one that went down and dealt with the Ethiopian eunuch. We find him later. So we see him later too. So he's got these two men. But these other five, nobody knows anything about them. We never hear of them, never come across them ever again. But no doubt the Lord used them. Procurius, Nicanium, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte. A proselyte. From Antioch. And now look what they've done. They chose them the seven people. And all these men had to be full of faith. They had to be full of the Holy Ghost. They had to have an honest report. And they chose this as the seven people they chose. These seven men. And look what they've done. They said, They brought them out. Here's the seven we choose. Here's the seven we choose. And they brought them before the 12 apostles. Here they are. Here they are. This is the ones we've chosen. And they set them, brought them up to before the apostles. And listen to what happens. And when they prayed, see, there they are praying again. They prayed over these men. Prayed that God would bless them. God would teach them. God would uphold them. God would direct them. God would do for them. And then they laid their hands on them. They laid their hands on them. You know, when Paul says, lay hands suddenly on no man, that's what he's talking about. You know, you don't, it'd be like somebody coming in here and staying 6 or 7 months or something like that and telling me, you know, that I believe God wants me to do this, believe God wants me to do that, and me agreeing with it and putting my hands on them, putting my approval on them. You don't do that. It takes years for a fella to come to that place. But they laid their hands on them. That means they set their approval on them. They set their approval on these men. These are men that you have set apart and that God has got His hand on. And oh, I love this right here. I love this right here. Listen to this one. And the Word of God increased. Oh, how does God's Word increase? Those fellows, they went to preaching, and you know how it increased? By people believing it. They had more preachers. They had more people out witnessing, more preachers out preaching than just the 12 apostles. Philip became a preacher, became an evangelist. And the Word of God increased. Oh, how I'd love to see God's Word increase. Wouldn't you love to see it increase here? Some places it looks like it's decreasing. That's an awful thing to think about. It's decreasing, isn't it? That's an awful thing to think about. The Word of God decreasing. Instead of folks being more interested in it, more people listening to it, more people obeying it, more people delighting in it, more people to come and hear it. But oh my. But the Word of God increased. And listen to what else here, what happened. And where the Word of God increases, the number of the disciples multiplied again. They started out multiplied, and they multiplied some more. Multiplied some more. If it said doubled, but I don't know, it's a multiplication thing here. It said they multiplied. And oh my. And a great company of the priests were added and were obedient to the faith. Now, like I told you, the word deacon, and it don't say these men are deacons, but it says that they're servants. These fellows took on this business as servants. The apostles were servants. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a servant. He says, you know, when the Gentiles get together, the one that's got all the authority and who got all the power, he exercises authority over everybody under him. He said, but that's not going to be among you all. You take the least one, and he's going to be the greatest. And let everyone, if you want to, you be a servant. And you know what our Lord did to prove his servitude? What a servant he was. One day he got these disciples together, these apostles together. And he got him a pan of water. And took off his clothes and put a towel around himself. And he got down and washed those disciples' feet. And he said, as you've seen me do, do you likewise. You call me Lord and Master, so I am. But as I have done to you, do you one to another. The greatest privilege, there's an old man today, I was talking to him, 93 years old. Sharp, sharp, sharp. Oh, he just works out and just as healthy as he can be. And he told me, he said, you know, He said, when my wife and I were fixed to get married, said the mother-in-law said, now listen, why you want to marry that old man for? You're going to get old, you're going to have to take care of him. Well, he took care of his mother-in-law and she died. And now he's taking care of his wife. And I talked to him, I said, what a privilege, what a blessing it is that God gives us people that we love. And what a privilege it is to take care of him. He said, I've got to be home at a certain time. And he started telling me all the ailments that his wife's got. And he said, I got to get home. I took her to doctor yesterday. Got to take her tomorrow. Told me all of her problems. And he said, I have to take care of her. I said, what a blessing. What an encouragement. He said, you're right. And when I left, that old man told me, 93 years old, he told me, said, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And he talked about the health that he had. He said, God gave me the health that I've got. But what a blessing. And that's what our Lord's teaching here. And these deacons and anybody else in the church. Serve one another. And what a blessing. Huh? Our Father, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, it's got such power. There's such liberty just in the word. Not our opinion on it, or not even our comments, but Lord, your power, the words in your power, the power's in your word. God bless it to the hearts. God bless it to our minds. Bless it to our understanding. And Lord, make us servants. Cause us to love one another. In brotherly love, love one another. Minister to one another. Take care of one another. Pray for one another. And if we ever see a brother or sister in need, Lord, please give us the grace and the wisdom to see it and to deal with it for your glory, for your glory. And out of love in our hearts, we ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, my Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. And He is. He is. All right. See you Sunday, God willing.